We're holding exactly 1 week from Erev Rosh Hashanah. In other words, exactly 1 week's time is Yom Adin. Chazal say that Jews are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, that Jews are believers. Jews believe that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. Jews believe that Torah is min ha-shamayim. And Jews believe that everything happens b'hashkocha pratis. Everything happens because that's the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that it should happen. Jews believe that there's a Yom HaDin. And on the Yom HaDin, every Jew stands before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam judges him. And Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam determines what the panos of a Jew is going to be, what his financial situation is going to be during the course of the coming year. And Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam determines mi yichya, mi yomus, and exactly what's going to happen to the Jew. There doesn't exist one person sitting in this room who is not aware on a personal level of the problems and the tzaras, Rahman al-Islam, that face each and every one of our families in these present times. The Davainenu, unfortunately, there doesn't exist anybody sitting in this room who doesn't know of tragedies that happened during the course of the last year, of sickness that exists. We live in a period of time where sickness is rampant to the degree that historically it never was in years gone by. There isn't anybody in this room who isn't aware of financial difficulties that exist by a lot of people. Many of you know the financial difficulties that your parents are going through, even in terms of simple basics of being able to make it through the year in terms of payments of tuitions and other things. It's a fact. We know that. And we as Jews believe that on Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is kever these things. When a person stands and davens on Rosh Hashanah, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is keveya, both in terms of himself and in terms of his family and in terms of his immediate surrounding environment, exactly what is going to be the story in the coming year. And the Ribbono Shel Olam decides according to the way in which the individual behaves and according to the decisions that the individual makes. The Sforim say, in the Pasuk which says that when the lion roars, who doesn't get scared? The Hebrew word for lion is Aryeh. And Aryeh is Yishag Mi Lo Yifchad, Mi Lo Yiroh. Who's not scared when a lion roars? So the Sforim say that the Rosh Tevis of Aryeh indicate those periods in the year which are periods in the year which are periods of judgment. The Aleph represents Elul, the Reish represents Rosh Hashanah, the Yud represents Yom Kippur, and the Hay represents Hashanah Rabbah. When it comes to Elul, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Yom Kippur, when it comes to Hashanah Rabbah, and the lion is roaring, the Ribbono Shel Olam is being Omed in Din, that a person should be scared. But we find an interesting phenomena. If a guy is walking down Rehov Zevin and he bumps into a lion, the natural reaction is to run in the opposite direction and to run very fast. Yet at the same time, if you go and visit a zoo and there's a lion there, you stand there looking at the lion and you're not scared in the slightest. Has anybody ever thought why that is? Why is it that when you bump into a lion in the street, you get scared and you run? When you go to see a lion in the zoo, you stand and watch and take your little kids with you as well. And everybody's enjoying it. And the answer is very simple. Because when the lion is in the zoo, he's locked behind a fence, he's locked behind a cage, he's locked behind a wall. There's a partition between you and the lion. Therefore, the lion doesn't scare you. But when you meet a lion in the middle of the street and there's no partition between you, then you get scared. If a person is standing a week before Rosh Hashanah and he's not scared what the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do with him, then there's a partition between him and the lion. Then there's a partition between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The fact that a person doesn't feel scared a week before Rosh Hashanah and doesn't change his attitude a week before Rosh Hashanah and doesn't try to better himself a week before Rosh Hashanah and doesn't try to be a little bit different than the way he normally is the clearest cut indication that there is a mechitza between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because if he really believed that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, and the Mezeinosov Chaladim Ksuvim Noemi Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, the Parnasa depends on what will happen on Rosh Hashanah, and the health depends on what will happen on Rosh Hashanah, and what's going to be with his parents, and what's going to be with his siblings, and what's going to be with his immediate family, and what's going to be with his close society. If you really believe that, then Mila Yira, who wouldn't be scared? There's a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, a very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there are various times in the year which are Yemei HaDin, which are days of judgment. And one of those days is Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, Mishnah in fact says, that every individual is judged on Rosh Hashanah, kivnei moroin, like sheep. And the various explanations in the Gemara, what do we mean by sheep? But all the explanations revolve around the same theme and revolve around the same idea. Namely that the Ribbono Shel Olam judges each individual on Rosh Hashanah as an individual. All of us stand in din, which name the Ribbono Shel Olam in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he judges us. But then, the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Omar Rava Baba Chanina Omar Rabbi Eichnon, the kulon niskorin biskira achas, and the Ribbono Shel Olam judges everybody biskira achas with one glance. And lichura, this seems to represent a contradiction. On the one hand, we're told that the Ribbono Shel Olam judges everybody kibnei morein as individuals, and yet on the other hand, the Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam judges everybody with one glance, which seems to indicate that everybody together is included in the judgment as a unit. And the Mefarshim say that there are two dinim on Rosh Hashanah. A person is judged from two perspectives on Rosh Hashanah. One judgment on Rosh Hashanah is kivnei morim. What did you do as an individual? Where is your scale? Where is your proportion of mitzvahs and averus? That's one judgment. That's kivnei morim, like sheep going through a gate of a pen and being counted one by one when you're taking maisa. But then there's another judgment on Rosh Hashanah. Skira achas. Every individual is also part of a society. And every individual plays a role in a society. And there's a separate judgment on Rosh Hashanah as to did you fulfill your function? Did you fulfill your role as a member of the society that you're in? Did you act the way you should act within the society that you are in? That's a completely, totally separate judgment. And what is the judgment of what role did you play in the society? And lechura, there are two elements here that a person is being judged on Rosh Hashanah. And we as Ma'aminim, B'nai Ma'aminim, believe this, B'emunah Shleima, that in Rosh Hashanah when we stand, the Ribbono Shel Olam judges us individually on our ma'asim, on the mitzvahs that we did, on the averus that we did. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, we've finished with that, now there's another issue that I have to deal with. Did you fulfill your role? Did you fulfill your function in society, or did you not fulfill your role and did not fulfill your function in society? And what are the nakudas? What are the points that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to judge us on in terms of did we or did we not fulfill our function within society? And lechura, there are two points which the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to judge us on. The Gemara, Chazal actually, tell us the story that we actually read in the Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah of Pnina and Chana. Pnina and Chana. Pnina had children and Chana didn't have children. And the Gemara says, Medrash says, Chazal say actually, that Pnina was continuously making snide remarks at Chana that I have children and you don't have children. And Chana was very upset about the fact that he didn't have children. That's the Haftarah that we read of Chana complaining about the fact that she doesn't have children. By Chana, the fact that she didn't have children was an open wound by her. A woman without children feels that she's unfulfilled. The biggest clawer that can be on a woman is that she doesn't have children. And Chana felt bad about it. And Pnina was continuously rubbing it in. I have children, you don't have children. I have children, you don't have children. Say Chazal, why? Pnina was a tzaddikus. Why was Pnina continuously rubbing it in? So the Gemara says, Pnina l'shem shamayim niskavno. Pnina's intent was totally l'shem shamayim. Pnina understood and knew that the Ribbono Shel Olam answers tefillahs. The Ribbono Shel Olam responds to the tefillahs of a person. What Pnina was trying to do was she was trying to inspire Chana to daven. Pnina felt that the more that Chana feels the lack of children, the more Chana will be mispalel for children. And therefore the whole point of her continuously remarking about this was in order to instigate by Chana intense prayer which would result in the Ribbono Shel Olam responding and granting children to Chana. Pnina l'shem shamayim niskavno. Say Chazal, the tefillahs of Chana helped. The tefillahs of Chana worked. And Chana started having children. Say Chazal, every time Chana gave birth to a child, one of Pnina's children died. I once heard from Chaim Shmulevitz, the family of Rota. He said, it doesn't make sense. He said, Pnina was doing a mitzvah. Pnina was trying to inspire Chana to daven. Pnina l'shem shamayim niskavno. So why is it that Pnina got such a terrible einish? That every time the Chana tefillahs worked and she had a child, one of Pnina's children died. She doesn't deserve such a punishment. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a meyudiki yisoid, he said it's a mistake. We understand that the reason why Pnina's children died was an einish, was a punishment for the fact that she was being nasty to Chana. No. If it was a punishment, there wouldn't be any problem, because she was doing l'shem shamayim. She wasn't doing an aveira, she was doing a mitzvah. So Reb Chaim, bein olim l'chaveira is a fire. And a fire burns. Says Reb Chaim, a guy sees a building burning and he hears a child crying. And he runs into the building to save the child. And he ends up in hospital. 6 months later he wakes out, comes out of a coma, and he's got first degree burns all over his body, and he's got 6 years of rehabilitation before he can get back to normal. And when he goes back to normal, he looks an awful sight, because they had to do 150 skin graft operations on him. So he turns around to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not fair. I went into the fire to save the child. Why should I be punished that I have to go through this? So Reb Chaim, what's the answer? When you go into a fire, the fact that the fire burns you is not a punishment. The fact that the fire burns you is a metzius. Fire burns, your intent is irrelevant. That is the metzius of a fire, it burns. Says Reb Chaim, if you cause somebody else pain, if you cause somebody else anguish, if you cause that somebody else gets upset, you can have the best ulterior motives in the world. Your ulterior motives can be in your mind even a mitzvah. But the teva, the nature of causing somebody else to feel hurt, is a fire and it burns. Penina had the best intentions in the world, but every time she said to Chana, ha ha, I have children, you don't have children, Chana got a zetz, said Reb Chaim. Chana got shaken up. And when somebody else gets shaken up because of you, it burns, it's a fire. The Gemara relates a story. The Gemara tells a story in Ksubas of an Amora by the name of Rav Rachumi. Rav Rachumi was an Amora. He was learning in a yeshiva. He was married, he had a family, and he was learning in a yeshiva. He came home once a year, Erev Yom Kippur. That's when he came home. He came home to spend Yom Kippur at home. Then he went back to yeshiva. He was very makpid to come home for Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, one year he was involved in learning a Shura Sugya, and he got delayed. His wife was waiting at home, and she got upset. And she said to herself, what's going on? Every year he comes home like clockwork. Every year of Yom Kippur he comes home. What happened to him this year? Why isn't he coming home? And she got upset. And she kept on saying, oh, probably going to come in 2 minutes. And 2 minutes went by and he didn't come. So she said, I'll come in another 2 minutes. And another 2 minutes went by and he still didn't come because he was in the middle of trying to work out what Tosfos was saying. Says the Gemara, Chol Shadaita. She got very upset about this. Yoda Dimo Me Eineho. A tear dropped from her eye. Says the Gemara, Hoya Rav Rachmumi Yeshev Bialio. Rav Rachumi was sitting in an attic in the shul upstairs in the loft. That's where he was learning that somebody should disturb him. The minute that the tear dropped out of her eye, Niftecha Ha'aliyah Mitachtov, the floor in the loft where he was learning collapsed, Umeis, and he died. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, what's going on here? This woman is upset. Her husband comes home like clockwork every single year, Erev Yom Kippur, and 1 year he's late and he's not coming. And she's getting all nervous about the fact that he's not coming. And she says, why is he not coming? Why is he not coming? And she starts crying. So how does the Ribbono Shel Olam punish her? Punish him, sorry. He'll die. Therefore he won't come home at all. What will she prefer? That he comes home late? Or that she's a widow? The requirement doesn't make sense. Why was he was punished that he dies because he caused his wife to get upset, so now his wife's going to be even more upset. She's a widow. So what was the point of the exercise? So Reb Chaim is not a punishment. Bein Odom L'Chaveroi is a fire. It's a fire. And a fire burns. And when a fire burns, it doesn't take into consideration what the ramifications are in terms of the people involved. Because that's the teva of fire. The teva of fire is that it burns. He caused his wife to get upset. The reaction is, he drops dead. Because causing somebody to get upset results in a fire which kills. That's one din that we are being judged on Rosh Hashanah. Our role in society vis-a-vis Bein Odom L'Chaveroi. A guy saying a chabura. He spends a whole week preparing it. And half the guys are missing. Yeah, he'll show him those enemies. I didn't need them. But in his kishkes it hurts him. I spend time preparing. Why isn't there anybody here? And everybody's got the best excuse. Everybody was missing because of the Tzva Mitzvah. When Adam Chaver is a fire, it kills. On Rosh Hashanah there's a din. It doesn't help that it was a mitzvah. It doesn't help that you had a legitimate reason. The minute the guy walks up here and he says to himself, where is he? And it upsets him, it's a fire and it's burning and it's going to kill at the end of the day somehow. A guy doesn't like the food in yeshiva. It's legitimate. I've never found a guy who did like food in yeshiva. If a guy likes food in yeshiva, take him to a psychologist. There's something wrong. Who ever liked institutional food? There has to be something basically wrong with your psychological makeup to say that I like it. Or your mother's a lousy cook. One of the two. Right? But there's no guy who likes it. Fine. Legitimate. So you don't like it. So don't eat it. But then you start creating theories. The reason why the food is no good is because of this and because of that. He probably cooked it last week and he cooked it last month. He cooked it a month before and he sticks it in the freezer and he does this and he does that. You don't know. You've got no idea. You've never been in the guy's house when he cooks. It's your hashara. It's your smara. You're about smara all of a sudden. When it comes to a taste of this, you don't know your hands from your feet. And you can't say a smara. But when it comes to the sheer food, there you're about smara. You're London. You know already why. All it needs is that it gets back to the guy who cooks or to the woman who cooks. And she, yeah, sure, she'll say, hey, she'll vachem, but somewhere in her heart, it knaps. She feels, it's a fire, it kills. It's been on the chaveroi. A guy's in your room. He doesn't want to hear a certain type of music. He's right, he's wrong, he should, he could, he would. Irrelevant. When you put the music on, he gets upset. So he says to you, please turn it off. So you ignore it. So he turns around and he says, yeah, that doesn't matter, the guy's in shiva anyway. Oh, but somewhere in his heart it hurt him. He came to yeshiva because he wanted to do better. He wanted to shtayim. And it disturbs him. And you ignored it. At the best, if he didn't use foul language when he said something to you. It's a fire, it burns, it kills. There's another Gemara. The Gemara says, very strange Gemara. The Gemara says that there was a story with Rabbi Yochanan of Kahana. It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan was a very old man. The Gemara says that he had very thick eyebrows. In fact, they were thick and they were long. They covered his eyes, so he couldn't see properly. The Gemara relates a story that Rav Kahana was arguing with him about something. Rav Kahana, in fact, was asking him in kashas, and there was one point in time that Rav Kahana asked him a kasha, and Rav Kahana asked a good kasha, and Rav Yochanan didn't have quite what to answer him on the spot. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to see, who's this guy who's asking good kashas? So the Gemara says, he said to some guy, help me, lift up my eyebrows so I can see who this guy is. Now the Gemara says that Rav Kahana was born with a defect. Rav Kahana had a split in his lips. That's the way he was born. Maybe it was cleft or something, I'm not quite sure. But whatever it was, it looked as if he was smiling. In reality, he wasn't smiling. But his physical appearance was constantly that he looked as if he was smirking. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan lifted up his eyebrows and he had a look and he saw Rav Kahana and he thought that Rav Kahana was smirking at him. That's what he thought. Says the Gemara, Cholash Daite, Rabbi Yochanan got very upset. He thought that Rav Kahana was smirking. In other words, I asked you a kasha and you don't know the answer. Who are you? Now you're sitting here saying shit, you don't even know how to answer my kasha. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan got very upset about this. Noch nafshe, Rav Kahana died. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Rav Kahana died. Why didn't Rav Kahana die? It's Rav Kahana's fault he had this problem. He had physical disfigurement. It wasn't his fault. He looked as if he was smiling. So what's it got to do with the fact that Rabbi Yechon misunderstood his physical appearance? So he has to die. So Rav Chaim, from here we see a yesod. If you are the cause for somebody else to do or to feel upset, you are responsible. Irrelevant of whether it's your fault or it's not your fault. There is a yesod in the Bria called says Rav Chaim Mokem HaMichshol. If you are the cause, you will suffer. Says Rav Chaim, Yaakov Avinu told his children, don't bury me in Mitzrayim, take me out of here. Says Rashi, why? Because he was frightened that the Egyptians would turn him into a Avodah Zarah. So what? And the Egyptians would turn him into an Avodah Zarah. What's his problem? That's their problem, that's not his problem. The answer is, it doesn't matter whether it's your fault or not your fault. If people are doing Averas because of you, you will be held responsible. Because you are the Makam HaMichshol. The Torah says, the Gemara doesn't say about the third day, the Torah doesn't say in connection with the day on which the water was created that it was Ki Toiv. The Yom HaSheni. It doesn't say Ki Toiv. Ask the Gemara. It's a Medrash actually in Bereishis Rabbah. Why doesn't it say Ki Toiv? Says the Gemara, because water was the cause of Moshe Rabbeinu getting into a tremendous amount of trouble. Moshe Rabbeinu was cursed because of water at the Mei Merivah. So, what's that going to do with the water? It's not the water's fault that Moshe Rabbeinu messed up in terms of the water. Why is the water not considered to be toiv? What's wrong with the water? The answer is, enachanon. The water didn't do anything. But the water was the makam ha-michshol. If the water was the makam ha-michshol, that's what happens. The Gemara says that why is Midbar Kodesh called Midbar Kodesh? Because in that Midbar, Klal Yisrael got the Kedusha of becoming Am Yisrael. Niskadish Am Yisrael b'Midbar v'Nikra Midbar Kodesh. Did the Midbar have anything to do with Am Yisrael becoming Niskadish? No. But what? Because they happened to be there when Am Yisrael were Niskadish, they became Nis'aleh. It's the flip side. It works in both directions. When the Gemara says that why is Hara Meiria Hara Meiria? Why did Hara Meiria be zeicher to the fact that the Beis Hamikdash is built on Hara Meiria? Because Avraham Avinu was Eikev Yitzchok on Hara Meiria. Did Hara Meiria have anything to do with it? No. But because it was there at the right time, it's this Aleh. The Gemara says in Seita that because Yehuda was Maida in the Maisa of Tamar, and that caused that Reuven should later admit to his chet, therefore Yehuda got all sorts of schar. When Yehuda was Maida, did he do it because he wanted that Reuven should learn from him in order that he should get schar? Of course not. It happened in Mela. So why should Yehuda get reward for that? Says the Gemara, because it makes no difference. If you are the cause for somebody doing a Dvar Mitzvah, you will get rewarded. If you are the cause for somebody doing a Dvar Avera, you will get punished. Irrelevant of whether you realized you were playing a role, whether you didn't realize you were playing a role, whether you wanted to play a role, whether you didn't want to play a role. If a guy's lying in bed and he's feeling deathly sick, he's feeling sick. So he doesn't get up for davening, he's got a very good reason. In fact, he can work out for himself a whole lomda. This is a mitzvah. Shmatim is nafshei seichem, and it's pikuach nefesh. And don't ask what he'll put together. Don't ask what hetter he'll find for himself. But there's a guy lying in the bed next to him, and it's 7:35. And the guy in the bed next to him doesn't know whether he should get up or shouldn't he get up. And he sees a guy lying in the other bed. And he says, he's sleeping, I'll sleep as well, we're all sleeping. That kills. Because you were the cause that the other guy didn't get up. Did you want to be the cause? No, you were in bed because you're desperately sick, you can't move, you're fine. If you get out of bed, you'll faint, you'll throw up, who knows what. A guy doesn't come into the Beis HaMidrash in the evening Seder. Let's assume, theoretically, far-fetched, but let's assume theoretically that he's got a shitta, he's got a reason why he doesn't come. He's got a legitimate reason why he doesn't come. It could be even a Dvar Mitzvah. But because he doesn't come, there's another guy who says, I haven't got any cheshik to learn anti-Beis HaMidrash. That kills, because you are the Mokam HaMichshol. If your behavior will in some way be mashpia lera on somebody else, whether you intended to or you don't intend it to, you had a cheshbon, you got 50,000 reasons, you can justify yourself all over the place, but at the end of the day there's another guy who's going to do an avera because of you, or he's going to learn from you, you are responsible. That is what we mean when we say that on Rosh Hashanah the individual is judged as part of society, besides the actual din that there is on a person. My mitzvahs and my aveiras. What effect did I have on the tzibur that I am a part of? What effect did I have in the tzibur that I am a part of in terms of my ben adam l'chaveiro? What effect did I have by osmosis of my behavior in the tzibur? Did my behavior encourage people to come to the Beis HaMidrash? Did it encourage people to come to davening, or did it not? Did it encourage people to act normally on Shabbos, or did it not? On that there's a din. Whatever your rationale was and whatever your logic was on that, there is a din on Rosh Hashanah. Says Rebbe Lapian, what's the pshat? Skiro achas. One glance. Everybody's included. Says Yavali Elokim, the pshat is poshet. When it comes to your mitzvahs and your aveiros, the Ribbono Shel Olam, what does he have in front of him? He has in front of him you, the individual. You did the mitzvahs, you did the aveiros, you're standing in judgment. When he moves over to the second type of judgment, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam have in front of him? He has on the one side you, and Biskir Achas, together with you, he has everybody else who you were mashpia on, whether you wanted to be mashpia or whether you didn't want to be mashpia. All those guys who didn't turn up in the Beis HaMidrash because of you are standing there. They are the Makatragim, says Rebellia. All those guys who didn't turn up in Davening because of you, they are standing there. They're being Makatrag against you. All those people that because of your actions, without your intending, you wanted to learn, so you came to the Beis HaMidrash, but Memela, other people came as well, they're standing next to you to defend you. It's Hakol Biskira Achas. Everybody together is a part of this. It is a week before Rosh Hashanah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is about Chesed. The Ribbono Shel Olam is about Rachamim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, part of his chassadim is he has a short memory, Kavyachol. He judges the person by Shehu Shom. He judges the person the way the person walks into Rosh Hashanah. How do you walk into Rosh Hashanah? We've got a week. A week in which the Ribbono Shel Olam should make his mind up. We've got a week in which we can start being a mokum, where each and every one of us can be mashpia l'tayif, in which case we're going to have a lot of defense counsels when we turn up next Wednesday night, but didn't before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Or chas v'sholem the opposite. That's Bechira. That's up to us. How we behave over the next week is up to us. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't get involved. We can try and be Mesaken Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. We can try and be Mesaken the union of Mokam HaMichshol. We can try and rectify that what happened in the past happened in the past, but things are different now. And we can come to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Wednesday night and say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what was, now it's different. Or we can carry on the way that we were. But if we carry on with the way that we were, and we stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we say the words of the Master, and we stand in Rosh Hashanah and we say, Mi Yechia, Mi Yomus, Mi Boesh, Mi Bamayim, then it's empty words if we stay the way we were. Because Rahman al Islam, what the din will be. We have 1 week. Let's be machazek. Let's start it. The best medrash, nobody ever suggested that the storim here were meshugan storim like in a normal yeshiva where you actually have to learn. Who knows how many hours. You're not talking about a night seder of 2 hours is not going to kill anybody, and an afternoon seder is not going to kill anybody, and a morning seder is not going to, and davening is not at 6:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock like a normal yeshiva. Davening is at 7:45. Let's be mechazik, and if we're mechazik, then tich leshona in kilal yisrael, the year with all its curses will finish. The tachul shona in birchei seha, a new year will start with its brothers.